front desk.
Good morning and welcome to episode 61 of the Cracking Backs podcast with your hosts, Dr. Terry Wyman and Dr. Spencer Barron. How you doing today, guys?
How you doing?
I'm doing great. So today we are joined by Dr. Cindy Howard. Dr. Howard is a board-certified chiropractic internist and nutritionist and is the owner of Innovative Health and Wellness Center in Illinois. How you doing this morning, Dr. Howard?
Oh, I am absolutely fantastic, which is what I think the other two doctors said, but I couldn't tell.
Well,
since they were talking over each other.
No, yeah, we talk over each other, but mainly because when you're dealing with Cairo man, you got to get your words in when you can. So in fact, how did Cairo man get his wings? Can you tell that story a little bit, Cindy?
You know what? I'm not sure I know how it all started, because it actually started before I even met Dr. Barron. But I don't think the wings, Dr. Terry. I think it's actually a cape.
Oh, it's a cape. Got it.
Cape. Yes. Hey. I've seen the tights. I've seen the cape. And there's actual photographic evidence of Dr. Barron running around in what should have probably been a Superman Halloween costume, but he dubbed Cairo Man.
This is taking a really bad turn right now.
Offices, charity events, runs, right? Like, there's a lot of history of you running around South Florida in this.
It got really warm in here. Hey, this is about Dr. Cindy.
Do you know what, Dr. Cindy? I think our engineer Lance needs a copy of those pictures so he can integrate them into this podcast, because that would just
I'm fine.
Be- No, I know you're fine, but the audience needs to see Cairo Man running around South Florida.
I don't want to subject them to that. So.
Well, I can provide those, free of charge. There's not a dollar amount you could give me that would, deter me from submitting those to you. And just to make it a little more interesting, like, if you kind of need a side-by-side comparison, we can go Cairo Man, and then we can go Dr. Barron in the blue dress, and I have these awesome red heels that go really well that he could probably borrow.
This is really out of control right now.
I'm really getting the whole South Florida vibe right now, because it's all East Coast versus West Coast. And a blue dress, high heels, and Cairo Man just put my partner in the perfect light of Southern Florida. So, on that note, welcome, Dr. Howard. I'm so happy to have you aboard our wonderful ship. This is great.
Oh, this was so worth it. Thank you for having me.
I can't even get a word in.
No matter where we go from here on out, it was all worth it.
It was worth it. This has got to be, my partner's saying this all the time, but this has got to be my favorite episode yet.
It's not mine.
And so you just sit back and you let Dr. Wyman and I just take the reins.
Exactly. I'm good with that, because this is good. So this is I haven't no, seen my partner no. sweat like this in a
I'm
long
really
time.
Sweating right now. I even have the fan on. Wow, I really thought I was going to give Dr. Cindy a glowing introduction, but now I don't even know. I don't even know what to say. All right, we're shifting off of Cairo Man in the blue dress, and we're going to, I was also going to say that this is one of my favorite people on the planet Earth here. Dr. Cindy has been a healer, both nutritionally, mentally, physically. She is, for me, even not just, professional athletes and really, really sick people, sicker than you, Terry. But anyway.
I'm feeling pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I know. I just got stomped on. I have knives sticking out of my back right now.
No, no, you have knives sticking out of your front.
They're in for the front. Yeah,
we did not come from behind. We hit you dead on.
Yeah, that's true. That is
true. Your listening audience needs to know that you knew that was coming and you didn't back out. So
no,
you know,
I had no idea that you were going to come out fighting. No. But all kidding aside,
yeah,
really. The humble beginnings behind my meeting of Dr. Cindy is really, really pretty cool, actually. I was at the ACA, the American Chiropractic Association event that they have every year. This one was in Washington, and they were having a women's speaking engagement. And Dr. Ann Sorrentino, who we've had on before a podcast, she says, "Hey, are you going to listen? Are you going to come in and listen?" I go, "I didn't have any plans. It's a women's thing." And she goes, "No, no, you and your blue dress could come in."
I was going to say, you didn't wear the blue dress, right?
I said, "I'll be there in slacks and a blouse." And so I hear Dr. Ann, and then I hear this woman, Dr. Cindy Howard. And I am telling you, Terry, if you've ever get an opportunity to listen to Dr. Cindy Howard lecture, it's educational, it's absolutely humorous, and it's deep. I mean, talking deep, like poop deep, deep in the bowels of the body. Anyway, so I'm listening to her talk about her experiences with, you know, really sick people, Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, autism, anorexia, the whole gamut, cancer and so on. And there was this one little comment that she made that I'll never forget. She said, you know, her first love was sports, and she felt there was a higher calling, and that was with really ill people to help them. And that's when I thought, man, if she could help these people, the ill people, can you imagine what she can do for athletes? And all of a sudden, somebody referred her over to talk to me. And we ended up speaking about the positive. So, of course, like you and I, Terry, we naturally integrate great people into our system.
Right,
and she's lectured all over the place. Cindy, tell us how it all started for you.
I was just going to ask that, Cindy, when I first went to your first lecture, you blew me out of the water. So, and I not only respected what Spence just said, your humor, but I respected your knowledge and your intensity. And what I always wanted to ask you, and that's why I'm sorry for interrupting you. I've always wanted to ask you I always like doctors or healthcare's journeys. How did you go from cracking backs or adjusting to go, I want to know more? And how did that journey look like for you?
Yeah, no, it was great. So while I was trying to avoid this weird thing flying in the sky with a cape,
again? He flies? Wait, I didn't know he could fly. How does he get that little body off the ground?
A couple tequilas, a couple tequilas or whiskeys, man. You can do anything, bro.
All right. In all fairness, you asked me a serious question. I'm going to attempt it. I'm going to attempt that in a serious manner. And thank you for the lovely compliment. It really does mean a lot to me because I love to present and share knowledge and really inspire other people to think just maybe a smidge differently in how we can better help people. So, you know, it's funny because I really don't come from a chiropractic background at all. I was raised in a very allopathic family, you know, the typical antibiotics, you know, when you didn't feel good. And my very first experience with chiropractic was after a car accident. The man that I was dating at the time in college had a chiropractor and he dragged me off. And, you know, I got my six visits or whatever it was at the time. It was a long time ago, so I don't really remember. And, you know, it helped me, but I didn't really give it much thought. Well, as you move forward, and I've got a really pretty strong history, not only as an athlete and a dancer, I was a competitive power lifter and a professional dancer for many years. And my undergrad was in exercise physiology. I really didn't know what I wanted to do in life. I couldn't quite figure it out. And I went into sales for a while, which is a whole nother sort of rabbit hole, but eventually wound up in chiropractic school and really wanted to be the sports chiropractor, like probably about 80 or 90% of my class, right? You know, that was sort of the cool thing to do and the vision. And it's still a very cool thing to do. But I really had a shift really due to my mentor, who his name was Dr. Frank Strehl. And his very first OBGYN class that he ever taught at National, which is where I went, I was in. And while everybody in the class, you know, kind of thought this is crazy, why are we learning about obstetrics and gynecology? And what does this have to do with musculoskeletal conditions? He really kind of turned my head into a direction where I thought, wow, like I didn't even know as a chiropractic physician, we were capable of looking at the human body beyond, you know, neck, back pain, headaches, you know, the typical, right? And while all of that still remained very important to me, and I still treat patients with those conditions, I actually got really excited about that whole internal medicine approach. So Frank really got me involved and he introduced me to the Council on Internal Medicine and Diagnosis, which is an ACA council. And he brought me in and I walked in as secretary at this very young, naive age, you know, where really I was brought in to do all the grunt work that the men didn't want to do, let's be honest, and did it really well, but really got an education that got me excited and decided at that point, sports was still really important to me and it was still a good love, but I thought really maybe there was a different path for me. So I spent a lot of years walking down that path. I earned my diplomate in both, you know, both places, internal medicine, nutrition. And my very first patient, I ran blood work on, you know, and she actually came in with a herniated disc and I understood the value of the nutrients and how that can play a role and how organ system can play a role in physical health. And started down that path with laboratory testing and nutrients and looking at food in order to get people well. And then I guess, Spence, I'll let you ask me the question that probably leads in, but it eventually did bring me back to sport. And now I love to take care of athletes, not from the, you know, chiropractic point of view. And that's sort of a lousy way to say that, because what I still do is the chiropractic point of view, but the typical point of view, and love to work with the other practitioners who handle that portion of their care while filling in the gaps from the sides that people really still need help with. That was the path.
You know, you hear now a lot of terms, functional medicine. Isn't that kind of what you've been doing this whole time? And where do you see that new term coming into play? And how did that term come around?
Yeah, so it's funny you asked me that. I actually hate that term. And maybe that's too strong of a word, hate. But, you know, it's if you look back at the way we practice to a certain degree, and it's really about finding the underlying cause, right? It's utilizing certain laboratory tests and histories and whatnot to figure out where patients are truly broken, right? Like what's not working in the body and then how we make the corrections. That type of medicine has actually been around for a very, very long time, way before the term functional medicine came to play. And I'd love to tell you I know who created the term. I truly have no idea. I've never cared enough to look into the history of that. But the reason I dislike it a little bit is because it's sort of this just general statement nobody really understands, right? And yet there really is no doctorate of functional medicine. You can get certifications in it. You can certainly take classes in it. But, you know, my doctorate is in chiropractic, right? And other doctors out there that are in the functional medicine space might be a medical doctor or an osteopathic doctor or a nutritionist, right, that practices functional medicine. So I actually find it to be a little confusing to the public because, again, it's not a degree, right? But it's an umbrella term that really describes how do we get to the underlying cause and what type of testing can we utilize to get those answers and then follow through on treatment. So, you know, we're going to keep using it because people throw that word around and it works. But I love the chiropractic internist just a whole lot better, you know, from a descriptive standpoint.
It's interesting because, you know, you have that blanketed statement or that generic term, functional medicine, and yet now there's medical doctors doing it, there's chiropractors doing it, but Cindy, you do it at a different level with a different understanding. Can you differentiate what makes you different in that world?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting because there's sort of a cookie cutter formula out there that's typically presented in the educational setting, right? Like if this is here, let's just take blood work, for example, this value is high and this value is low, it must be, you know, this. So you give this protocol. And where that's a really awesome place to start because you need a base, right, to build from in this world. It kind of stops there, in my opinion, with a lot of practitioners. And that's where, you know, a lot of doctors out there will get people to a certain point, and they will, right? There's still value in that. But it's really the approach of, you know, taking a really thorough history, because as you all know, the patients will teach us what we need to know if we listen, right? Really taking the time to listen to the patient. To taking that cookie cutter approach and realizing that really nobody's a textbook, and understanding how to take a little bit of research and a little bit of history and a little bit of, you know, 20 plus years of clinical experience along with that cookie cutter approach, and then navigating through a process with a patient where it isn't like, here's your results, take your product, good luck, see you in 6 months. It's here's what we found, here's how we think we can fix it. Let's agree to the game plan together. Does this work for you? And then reevaluate in short intervals to make sure that what we're doing is actually really working for the patient. And then having enough confidence in your abilities to also shift to, and I know you love the, you know, these terms, Spencer, of thinking outside of the box, but it's really not about thinking outside of the box. It's about throwing away the box, right? Mm-hmm. And being that creative. So there's really an art to what I do that's beyond that cookie cutter approach. And I think that's what makes some of, you know, some of my peers, and there's some great ones out there besides myself, really unique and different to elevate healthcare.
Terry, did you, when you listened to Dr. Cindy, when you heard her speak, did she make reference to bowel movements and poop?
I believe on one of the lectures she did, and I know that's something near and dear to your heart, because she would talk to you before you had heart surgery. And yeah. So see how I did that?
Yeah, that was very good.
Thank you.
That was very good.
So I love to hear, because he talked about earlier on another podcast, and he gave you homage to how you really got his body ready for surgery. And I thought that's a very interesting approach. And a lot of people would not think of a chiropractor to get somebody ready for heart surgery beyond the neurological side. You know, everybody talks about in chiropractic, the brain, you know, controls the body and the cells and adjusting the cells and the innate intelligence and all that. But you looked at it from an organic standpoint. And can you explain a little bit how you helped my partner and how people can look to this profession that may be lost in that middle ground where, you know, their MDs are saying this and their chiros are saying this, but there's that middle ground in between. Can you kind of explain that world a little bit?
Yeah. So it's interesting. You know, when we talk about neurological function, right, and now everybody talks about the gut brain connection that's been around for a very long time. You know, what we can affect neurologically, there's also the chemistry portion of that, right? And we can administer the most fantastic adjustment, the most appropriate care. But really, you know, what are you putting in your body? What's the food that you're eating? Are you hydrated enough? Are you getting enough nutrients? Are you actually absorbing the nutrients that you're taking? And on a, you know, a cellular level, you know, I always laugh. Remember in science class, there was that little cell and you had to label the mitochondria and the nucleus,
right?
Everybody sort of vaguely remembers that picture and you swore you'd never use it ever again.
Yeah,
you
know? Yeah, that and Krebs cycle, right?
Right.
And please don't ask me to reproduce that because I would absolutely have to pull out the picture. But, you know, at the end of the day, we use that every single day, right? Our cells are really important.
Right.
So, you know, unfortunately, I think we live in a world where we go retro, right? We have a condition or a surgery or a problem, and then we figure out how to fix it. What was really cool about Spencer is he said, okay, yeah, I have a challenge here, but how do I get my body in the best shape to handle that challenge, right? And it's that preventative action that I wish everybody would take seriously. So we got down on a very cellular level with Spencer to make sure on, you know, just nutrients were good. But even beyond that, that his gut was truly healthy, there was no inflammation, that his adrenals could handle the stress of the surgery. Because let's face it, you know, when Chiro Man hits a certain age, it's much harder to get through surgical procedures, you know, than some of his younger counterparts.
Yeah,
you know, exactly. I'm going to keep going with this.
Thank
right?
you. Like, and did you hear that? The younger counterpart.
Yeah. You know, because a good storyteller weaves through, right?
Yes, the main storyline
back through.
Exactly. So. You're doing okay, fabulous. So
and the victim of the story ends up killing themselves at the end.
Well, you know, it's like a Disney movie, Spencer. Somebody always dies in a Disney movie.
Yes. That'd be me.
And thank God we have the Disney princess right here. So we're ready to go. In the blue dress with the red heels.
Oh, you're talking about me?
You plays both roles in the film, Terry. Both roles.
Yeah, both roles. It's a low budget film,
Spencer. You got to do two roles. We don't have a big budget for this, you know?
Back to surgery prep.
But truly, in all seriousness, you know, it's those things that when we get the body truly ready and we support the immune system in a way that it understands optimal function, and we make sure that there's as little to no inflammation in the body that's possible, we get through all of those challenges, you know, 100 times better. So that was really Spencer's goal and, you know, my gift to be able to help him accomplish that in a way that he was ready to take on. And it's work. And, you know, and Spencer, you can speak to that. I mean, it's not a simple commitment always, but, you know, when you follow through, the benefits are enormous.
So I want to wait.
I just wanted her to share what that would actually look like.
Well, you know,
what kind of blood work and all, and what kind of lab work.
That's exactly what I want to ask. So with, you know, let's take Spencer, his condition. So he's, all kidding aside, he's one of the healthiest people I know. I mean, he's built like a brick shit house and he's always running and he looks fantastic. And so people would assume that he's one of the healthiest guys on the planet, and to go into surgery, no big deal because look how healthy he is. But a lot of people view people on the outside and they look healthy, but on the inside they may not be, or they can be better. Just like an athlete is always trying to look for that last 5% to get to the podium versus not the podium. So here's, I'd love to take him as an example. Here's a very healthy looking man getting ready for a pretty gnarly surgery. And he didn't tell people about it or anything like that, and because it was personal. But I like to take down the journey as a chiropractor in another state, how you looked at this body and got him ready for it. So can you walk us through that whole journey with Spencer's permission? Can you walk through that whole journey of a healthy man get ready for heart surgery and what you found and how you fixed it, because he recovered fantastic. So,
you know what he did, but I also do want to, I'd love to just preface this with, it was also not the first time Spencer's done this work either. Right.
Okay.
So he and I have been on this journey for him for, oh, I don't know what feels like about 106 years, but in all seriousness, I mean, there's probably a handful and a half of years, you know, that we've worked. And, you know, a lot of it actually started gastrointestinally, right, Spencer? You know, there was some bloating and discomfort. And again, you know, yes, you can look at him and think he's perfect. We all know differently. Sorry, that was my little jab there too, Spence. But, you know, from the standpoint of internal, right? So his external presentation, yeah, there are people who are very envious of, but at the end of the day, we needed to make the internal to match his external. There were concerns of his that he had shared with me even beyond just preparing for surgery. So there was a history of, you know, when we look at the gut, I can tell you more, here goes the poop conversation, but I can tell you more about a piece of poop than you know, about your life from a piece of poop than you ever wanted to know. So we can look at the balance of good bacteria. For example, everybody loves to throw themselves on a probiotic. Is it the right one? Do you need it? Are you taking too much of it? Is it even the right strains? Are there other things growing in the gut, any bacteria, yeast, fungus, parasites, viruses that you don't even know are there, even if you're not having a GI symptom? Sometimes the symptom is just brain fog, inability to learn, muscle aches and pains that aren't resolved from, you know, an adjustment of therapy. We can look at inflammatory markers of the gut. We can look at bile acids, how you're absorbing and digesting your food, general immune status of the gut. I mean, truly, it's unbelievable from fecal material what we can share. And when we look at that, it really is then an indication of how healthy we are, bringing it even back to the you know, our brain, right? Because if the gut is inflamed and we have the effect then on how that may possibly cross the blood-brain barrier and infect inflammation in the brain, now we have trouble healing, right? So gut work was really important. Looking at what we call food sensitivities was really important. Most people think about foods from an allergy standpoint, eat shellfish, you know, you swell up, right? Hospital visit. They think about lactose intolerance. So, you know, you eat a bowl of ice cream, you run to the bathroom. But what we don't spend a lot of time on are those foods that we consume that from the moment we eat them up to 72 hours later can cause an inflammatory reaction in the gut. And then if we have leaky gut, intestinal permeability, and I'm trying to give you like an 80,000 hour lecture in a few minutes here, but then we get leakage into the systemic system where, again, now we've got 200 plus symptoms from head to toe, not just GI problems, right? So and I really looked at his GI system from what he was putting in his mouth, you know, to what he was putting out. And, you know, he can tell you the difference in how he just felt and looked, but really felt as a result of making some of those changes. The other side of that, you know, there's a hormonal component we looked at. We looked at his testosterone level. We looked at his adrenal levels. There were some issues, challenges there we fixed. And then even from a blood work standpoint, it's not only looking at organs, but it's looking at nutrients and really optimal ranges. So when you get blood work done, you see these massive ranges from a lab and it's like, oh, you're fine. And yet you don't feel good. And then you're crazy because you're fine, but not feeling good. And in our world, we look at these homeostatic values that are much smaller. So for Spencer, we were able to tweak like his vitamin D, his B12, right? Liver enzymes, which were not scary, but just needed a little extra help to detox and clear things through. And once we started to look at all those small little aspects for Spencer, we took him from good, and he was good. He wasn't, you know, as he describes, one of the sicker patients, but we took him from good to really great. You know, and then when you hear the stories that he's in the gym with his son, you know, lifting weights 4.5 seconds out of surgery. No, I mean, you know, and really relatively speaking.
Right. No, I know.
Compared to us, right?
Right.
That's the speed he operates, you know, in. It was really important to him. I believe that some of the work that he was willing to put in prior is what got him back
100%.
Way faster than he not done it.
Yeah. 100%.
What was really fascinating is how you know, even if you are having a nutritionally sound diet as per you, because I mean, there's thousands and thousands of diets out there that can, you know, books that could fill up a whole library, you know, and you find one, you try it, you find another, you try that and so on. But what Cindy does is what I refer to as a deep dive into how the body interacts with itself, you know, blood work, urine analysis, stool samples, saliva testing for hormones. And, you know, I can go on and on. And, you know, it's all just based on your symptom picture or what your goals are. I actually, you know, 6 years or so ago when I first started, I think that might've been 6 years ago when I first started working with Cindy, I actually felt okay. I just said, you know, I feel my age and I think I could feel younger. And that what that meant was, Terry, this will really get the point across to you. Terry still competes in those like crazy, you know, obstacle course, Spartan, Monster Mudder, Deca race, you know, all those crazy things. So give him some credit. But and he probably heals pretty fast because he fractured his ankle a couple weeks ago and is back on these courses doing crazy things. But could he be better? You know, could he heal faster? You know, and I mean, granted, he's healing fast, but so what you think you're nutritionally sound. Like I remember saying, Cindy, I don't need the, you know, the, I don't need to do a stool sample. I'm doing probiotics. Boy, did she call me out. She gets the results of the stool sample. And then she has the bacteria that's present. And it's the bacteria. It's the same bacteria that's on the label. But on the label of the brand that I'm taking, it doesn't have, I'm low in the ones that it doesn't have. So she goes, oh, I'm just going to send you a supplement. Who would have known? Who would have known? So it's little things like that that just blow me away that you could actually fine tune the body if it's important enough to you. Like Terry, you know, at our age, we're like Ferraris, man. I mean, for our age, why don't we treat it? I mean, we do treat it, but these interviews, these podcasts, we meet people that, you know, do extraordinary things. You know, Dr. Sabine Hazan, Dr. Hemeister, you know, they all talk about poop, but Cindy's like icing on the poop, really.
You know, it's interesting if I can, I'd love to comment because you said something that I think is really important for your listeners as well too. When you talk about all the diets, right, that are out there. And that's always a tough word because it has such a negative connotation, right? Like it's really a lifestyle change, but, you know, and there are some great ones. I mean, you look at low FODMAP, you look at the anti-inflammatory program. I mean, there's some fantastic programs out there. The struggle is they're really not specific for the individual, right? Like it's a category where it's like, okay, go look this up, go Google it, follow it. You may or may not get better and that's great. But when we look at, again, the person, the blood work, and quite frankly, something else that I didn't mention, which is really cool now, is the genetic makeup of the patient. we actually can tailor, we can take that as a starting point and then tailor it. So like, I'll give you a really interesting example. Keto is very big, right? It's the latest, greatest thing. Everybody's on a keto diet. You know, everybody should do it. You're going to lose 112 pounds if you, you know, if you live keto. I mean, really, like that's what it sounds like, right? Like that you can't lose if you go keto. So quite a while ago, this goes back, you know, when it first came out, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go keto and I'm going to see how I feel. I want to see, because patients are asking me if they should do it. And I always try everything I do here anyway. I mean, I always run the tests and I want that experience. So I put myself on keto. Now, as you know, Spencer, I eat very clean. So my fat content would be like olive oil, avocados, eggs, right? I don't do bacon and ice cream to begin with. So I had to up my fat content to put me in ketosis. So I did, but I still did it healthy. Okay. There was still no bacon on the plate. I did it for 7 days. I kid you not, in 7 days, I gained 7 pounds and I was a crabby human being. Now I'm thinking this doesn't make any sense, right? Keto is supposed to be phenomenal. And I followed it to a T and it's still good fat. It's not even junk food. Well, I went back to my genetic profiles that I run here. There's actually a really cool one called Diet Wellness. And I looked back at all of my genetics and don't laugh, but I actually have the FTSO gene. Okay. It's FTSO. I actually carry the gene. All right. But one of the components of that, along with a couple others that I was positive on the genes, showed me that I don't metabolize and break down fat. So now if you think about that, right, I was doing something that was counterintuitive against my DNA, because if I go 50% fat in my diet, my body's not capable of breaking it down in the way it needs to use it appropriately for fuel in order to lose weight, which is why I put on weight, right? So, you know, that's where this type of medicine is really so fun, because when somebody struggles with something and they keep doing the same thing over and over, right, expecting, you know, there's again your cliche, expecting the same result, if we really throw away the box and we start to look at all these other components, we actually get an explanation as to why they fail. And then what's great is we can overcome that failure so that they don't feel like they're crazy or, you know, that there is no hope in order to get well. So, you know, it's cool because a lot of it is kind of a one size fits all for a certain, you know, percentage of the population. But then there's the rest of us that really are kind of screwed up in a good way that'll give us the information we need to get better.
That's fabulous. I got a question. If you're resonating stuff with a listener listening to this and going, oh my gosh, I got surgery coming up, or this is really resonating with me, how do they find people? Because you go to the gastroenterologist, and unless you're like a Dr. Hazan who we had on, you're just going to get a bunch of pills and this and that, and they're going to run your basic blood work. If you go to a functional medicine, they may do a hair sample or something like that. What are some of the things that people can look for in their state, in their area, to kind of to know, I want to get, this is resonating with me, I want to find more about it. Yeah. What do they look for?
Yeah, that's great. I mean, you know, we're a small group, but a pretty strong group. You know, if they look up, you know, it's the American Chiropractic Association Council on Diagnosis and Internal Medicine. So the letters behind my name, the DABCI. And you know what? This is really horrible. I should know our new website. But if you just Google Council on Diagnosis or a DABCI, D-A-B-C-I, they have a website where you can find a doctor, right? So you can put in your city or your state and try to find somebody close to you. A lot of us also do telehealth. So, you know, for some people who are in more remote areas or communities where they may not be able to find somebody, at least you can get access via telehealth now, you know, to talk to a lot of us in order to guide you and get you the help you need. But that would be the organization I would recommend going through in order to find somebody similar to the way I practice.
So maybe this is a good time to bring it up, and I hope you don't mind, Cindy, but, you know, Cindy, the very, you know, doctor that's able to take care of really sick people had a event of her own. What is it now? 6-7 years ago? No, sit five. How many?
It'll be 8 years, August 27th.
Wow. You want to share that?
Yeah, I'd love to. So it's actually what I'll tell you is a really cool story. So the 8 year mark of August 27th is actually the 8 year anniversary of the last chemo treatment that I chose.
Yay. Yeah. Yay. Congratulations. Woohoo.
Yeah. Thank you. It's actually a fun story. And I know people are going, fun. How could cancer be fun? But What happened was, as I actually self-diagnosed, I woke up one day, I had two golf ball sized lymph nodes sticking out of my neck. And I thought, that's really weird and ugly. And I gave it a couple days to see what I was going to come down with, because I figured it was going to hit me pretty good. And I never got sick. So I wound up sending myself for I ran blood work first because I have access to that. So I ran a bunch of blood work, and knowing blood work inside and out the way I do, the minute I saw the blood work, I figured this has to be cancer. It actually really scared me. If it had been a patient, I would have been really nervous about the phone call I was going to have to make. So I sent myself for a chest CT. We confirmed the two, they were lymph nodes that were swollen. We confirmed the two in my neck. There were two in the left side of my chest. And then I referred myself to the University of Chicago, and we did a PET scan, a full body PET scan, and I lit up like a Christmas tree, diaphragm up, there were lesions all over. So I then sent myself, it's great when you're your own doctor, but I sent myself to a neck surgeon who biopsied the lymph node in my neck and confirmed Hodgkin's lymphoma stage 2B. So I was sitting at the University of Chicago with an oncologist and the oncology nurse who was reading off the laundry list of the horrific chemo medications that I was going to have to take. And the oncology nurse looked at me and she said, on the third week of your treatment, you're going to wake up and all of your hair is going to be on your pillow. And that was the first time I started to cry, because I knew I was going to beat this. It just didn't really matter, but I didn't want to be bald. So I looked at the oncologist and I said, okay, this is great. But if I'm going to do treatment with you, I'm also going to do very high doses of IV vitamin C, and I'm going to do all the nutrition that I know how to do. And I'm going to need you to work with me on this realm. And he said, no, the IV vitamin C is going to interfere with the treatment. And I said, okay, thank you very much. And I walked out of his office. So I called a very dear friend of mine, Michael Taylor, who practices in Tulsa, Oklahoma, who also is a board certified internist, who I trust with my life. And I basically was like, what am I going to do? And I was prepared for him to send me to Germany or Mexico or somewhere really fun where I could do some shopping before I had treatment. You know, you got to look good when you go through care. So I needed a new outfit to take this on. And he said, and the reason I expected that is because there's some really cool treatments outside of this country, right? He said, you're going to stay in this country, you're going to do chemotherapy, and you're going to survive because you've got three kids that need you. And that's what you're going to do. And I thought to myself, you know, I've been practicing for a very long time, and I don't love chemo and I don't love radiation because I think they kill you while they keep you alive. And I didn't want to do it, but I trust Mike with my life. So anyway, I found a facility here in Chicago. I decided to go ahead with the treatments. He does both Dr. Block. He's phenomenal. And they do allopathic as well as the the alternative, so to speak. So I did a lot of the IV vitamin C. Was popping about 150 pills a day. I ate good, but I ate perfect. I mean, like, I wouldn't even look at sugar. I just ate perfect. And we got me through Hodgkin's lymphoma in 6 months. I missed one day of work because I fell down a flight of stairs.
Wow. Yep.
Wow. I had chemo on Wednesday. I worked on Thursday. And wow. I don't work on Wednesdays and Fridays anyway. So I worked on Thursday, went to bed early on Friday. I was back at work Saturday morning. And if you didn't know I was going through chemotherapy, you wouldn't know I was going through chemotherapy other than that my hair was curly and gray. And, you know, to kind of, you know, get back at the nurse that threatened the hair loss, I had rented something called Penguin Cold Caps. And I froze my head to minus 32 degrees starting 40 minutes before chemo and kept it frozen for 7 hours after chemo. And it deterred the chemo from attacking the hair follicles. So I thinned quite a bit. I used to have some really great Jewish frizzy big hair, which is now Jewish frizzy thin hair. But wow. I cut my hair. There was nothing on the pillow at week three. You know, and the story is great. And then, you know, the humor comes from that, right? So like I got through it. It's 8 years. I got through it. And the humor comes from that. You know, I paid probably about $6,000 to keep the hair on my head and still had to shave everywhere else, you know, which is just stupid because, you know, why can't you lose it all? Right. And also did things very differently post-care. So, you know, when most patients are done with therapy, most, and I'm going to say most, because it's probably true, right? Most doctors want them to repeat scans and then do radiation and all sorts of drugs and other things in order to keep them well. Well, they wanted to do radiation. And I said, what are you radiating? And they said, well, the tissue around where the lesions are. And I said, but the lesions are gone. You're radiating healthy tissue. Thank you, but no thank you. So I refused the radiation. And then they wanted me to get either a PET scan, which, you know, the guy who gives you the injection for the PET scan stands behind a barrier and walks out of the room because you're radioactive. So you can imagine how healthy that is. He wanted me to get full body PET scans numerous times after the treatment and then CT scans every 6 months for the next 5 years. And after I got the one that said I was absolutely clear, I said, you know what? I did my homework. The sequela for Hodgkin's lymphoma is leukemia 20 years later. I got Hodgkin's when I was 46, which puts me at 66 with leukemia, and I'm going to live to be 112. So it was too early to get that. So I refused. And I said, you know what? I'm going to run the blood work. I know what to look for. I'm taking really good care of myself. If I get into trouble again, we're going to kick the crap out of this again, but I am absolutely not going to radiate healthy tissue that I'm pretty sure is what's going to give me leukemia if I keep doing that. And we're at 8 years. So I guess I got 12 more to go to prove him wrong. And I will.
I'm sure you will.
And I will. And that's the story. And now what's amazing about it is I still don't really understand what anybody else's journey is, right? Because everybody's is different, but I get it a little bit. And when a patient walks through my door letting me know that they have a very scary diagnosis of that big fancy word cancer, I can empathize just a little bit better than I could 9 years ago because I've walked the walk. And there's a good way to get through it. And there's a million gifts in the journey that some people will just never look at or understand. And there is another, you know, there's another side and we can get there. So now I love helping people, especially in that realm, because I do get it a little bit more.
You know, Dr. Spencer, he had a guest and he's going to be actually on Monday's show this coming up Monday. And he's a spine surgeon. And I was very impressed with this man, but he said no doctor should be a doctor unless they've had a procedure that they perform. And he made the comment of, you know, no spine surgeon should be a spine surgeon unless they've had spinal surgery. And, you know, I think what makes us, Dr. Spencer and I, good, because we've had almost every injury that we treat. And and so, and you already, if I ever got the diagnosis of cancer, you'd be my first phone call, because you if you don't have empathy as a physician or healthcare and have walked the walk, like you just said, then how can you help a person? Because we are physical, mental, and nutritional beings. And if you can't handle all three, then you're missing that huge component. And so, you know, God bless you for going through that. I mean, it's very inspiring. And I really appreciate those words you just said. That's fantastic. And I've heard the story before, but something about in this podcast intimate setting compared to a lecture hall, it's way better. It hit home. So, you know, I really appreciate those words because it's so important for what you just went through, because now you're believable. So if somebody goes, I'm going through this, you don't know what I'm doing. Really? Here's my story. And now I buy in, and now I'm already healing because you just made me feel better. So that's incredible. Yeah.
And you know, if I can give one message, because I actually think that I learned something really valuable through that experience beyond just being able to take, you know, care of patients a little bit better and having more empathy. And that is, you know, no matter what's thrown at us, we always have a choice, you know, and don't get me wrong. I had my pity party for 10 or 15 minutes a day doing the why me and, you know, this sucks. And I mean, I had those. Not everything was, you know, lollipops and rainbows, but I really chose to walk through it with a different attitude of, you know, this is a challenge and I'm going to get over the speed bump. And a very good friend of mine challenged me. And these are words I would love, no matter what anybody out there is going through, I'm going to challenge you to look at these words very closely. And that is not to own things. So when I said I have, you know, I had lunch with her and I said, Wendy, I have Hodgkin's lymphoma. And she said, no, you don't. You're walking through it and you're experiencing it. And
woo,
yeah. And that advice was life changing for me. And I now use that for others because, again, I never owned the disease, right?
Wow.
Jeez. And I think that's truly mentally what got me on the other side of it. Because again, you know, we can't always pick and choose what happens to us, right? But we can choose how we walk through and how we react. So I will tell you, I experienced Hodgkin's lymphoma, and that's really how I look at it. And, I, you know, if anybody's going through any challenges, change your words. Because, you know, when we change our words, it makes a profound difference in how we move through things.
I have two questions. One is, could you share some of the common conditions you currently go through? And I think it would resonate with Dr. Terry if we talk about keeping your immune system up and what you do and what you suggest to patients. That's one. And number two, I think you have a book coming out soon, or one you're working on. And if you could share a little bit of that about that.
Yeah, sure. So your first you know, multitasking, Spencer, you got to do one question at a time. So I remember, so you'll bring me back. So in terms of, you know, things that I see and work with in the office, you know, this is the stupid answer, right? Everything. But, you know, that being said, you know, I work with patients anywhere from sinus infections all the way down to vaginal infections. We co-treat cancer. You know, I do want to be very careful with that. I am not an oncologist, right? So like, I'm not treating patients with cancer. I am treating patients. I'm co-treating, right, in order to get them in a healthier state and help them with some of the effects of that, right? But, you know, we see, unfortunately, here in the office, a ton of autoimmune conditions, from Hashimoto's to rheumatoid arthritis to lupus to dermatomyositis. I mean, you know, pick one. We've probably seen way too many cases. And it comes back to what I think I said earlier, and it sounds really simple, and yet it's extremely complicated. One, reducing inflammation, getting rid of it in the body, right? That leads to disease states. And two, really looking at the immune system. So what does that mean? Again, the food you eat. Food is food. So let me explain that. There's manufactured product and there's food. Food is something you pick off a tree, pull off a vine, grow in the ground, slaughter fish for. Manufactured product is something with an expiration date of 2024, right? That is still considered edible because it lived in a box or in your freezer for a long period of time. So if we move more toward food, we support the immune system better. And then it's really just the nutrients, right? And I can get crazy. I mean, we can, you know, do a little vitamin A and a little vitamin C, and certainly mostly vitamin D, because most of us are deficient. Or we can start having that crazy conversation, even in terms of what's going on in our world today, right, with COVID. And we can look at zinc levels and selenium levels and cysteine levels and glutathione levels. And we can start to support that. And actually, it's fun. And I don't mean this to sound like a sales pitch, but I get so frustrated sending people home with 20 different bottles of good nutrients. So in order to, you know, help offset the effects of the diseases that we're going through today, that we actually put everything in one bottle. And we started to create and formulate products so that, you know, you've got one bottle to take of a lot of these really good nutrients instead of, you know, laying it out across the counter and then not wanting to eat lunch because you're so full from popping pills. You know, so there's some simple things that people can do that way too, even if they don't test, that are just very safe. But I still always recommend, you know, you talk to somebody that you trust, you know, in order to make those determinations, because just as I threw out like selenium and zinc for your immune system, too much selenium is toxic, too much zinc screws up your copper zinc ratio. And now we have to have a whole nother podcast to discuss, you know, what the side effects are from those things. So make sure you're still, you know, reaching out to somebody that has some knowledge base when you play around with some of these nutrients. I think that was the answer to your first question. Yes.
Very good. Yes.
Okay, good. I'm going to take a breath because, you know, I don't do that between sentences. Yeah.
Now the book.
The book. And I appreciate the plug. So my Hodgkin's journey, if you will, I basically created a memoir. It's a little bit about cancer. It's a little self-help. It's a little self-deprecating. It's a little funny. It's a little bit about poop. And actually, it was really very flattering. A publisher that I'm considering working with compared it to Matthew McConaughey's Green Lights the other day. So Matthew doesn't know that we're going to go on book tour together yet. But after he listens to this podcast, he's going to call me and we're going to figure out our schedule together. So I'm probably looking at, quite frankly, probably about another 10 to 12 months before it's really out to the public, because I'm trying to find the right publisher and the right PR group to help me, because the end goal is, you know, if it helps somebody look at things just a little bit differently, that's great. And really, I'm hoping it'll facilitate some bigger and better speaking audiences. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. I just mean we want to get out beyond doctors. We want to get to the lay public, who are the ones that are really suffering from a lot of these conditions, so that they can, you know, look at it differently. And that's really my end goal with this. So I appreciate you asking, but it'll be
fun. I love it.
I'll get you guys an autographed copy and we'll draw a little picture of poop on yours with a cape.
Perfect.
We had to go back to going around.
I want the one with the blue dress and the red heels. That's the one I want.
You know, I think if you guys do like a holiday episode, you know, where you send out cards, Terry, maybe you
God, that is brilliant. All right. You and I will talk off air.
Okay.
I hate everybody. I'm getting up. We're done with the podcast, right?
Wait a minute. Terry said something about coming back for a second one.
You know the beautiful thing about it, Dr. Cindy? I do the scheduling.
I'll send you my availability when we're done.
Love it because I'm the one that calls. I'm the one that does the scheduling. We just have golden voice over here, but I'm the one behind that does the scheduling. So anyway.
I'm going to have small intestine bacterial overgrowth on that day. Sorry, I'll be bloated. I won't be able to.
Hold on. I can fix that. So you're still showing up. Yeah.
You know what, Cindy? Our whole point of this podcast that we, my friend and I started 8 months ago or 9 months ago was to get people physically, mentally, and nutritionally healthy. And you, thank you so much for today. This is what it's all about. Not only friends getting together, mentors getting together, people to inspire us getting together to help others. And so you've done that and more. You made us laugh, but you educated us, and your story was fantastic. I do look forward to having you down the road again. We'll talk when you get the book. But thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to hang with us for an hour. I really appreciate that.
Oh my gosh, my pleasure. You guys are fantastic. And, you know, it's just fun, again, to talk and chat and be around great, like-minded people and help inspire others. So thank you, really, for the opportunity.
Yes, love it. Thanks, Cindy. And my mom found out just now via text message that we are doing this podcast with you. And she goes, when is it coming out? I can't wait to listen. So you'll at least have one listener.
There you go. And
this is my biggest fan. So we're good.
We love it. And on round two, we'll get Spencer's mom on. So fantastic. And, you know, you have a fantastic day.
You too, guys. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Crackin' Backs podcast. We hope you enjoyed, and make sure you follow our Instagram at Crackin' Backs podcast. Catch new episodes every Monday. See you next time.